Chazal tell us in Masechet Shabbos that after 120 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us a number of questions, such as, did we conduct our business faithfully? Did we set aside regular times for Torah? Did we occupy ourselves with procreation? But one of the questions that is most relevant for today is the question of Tzipita LeYeshua. Did you eagerly await redemption? The question is not, do you believe in Mashiach intellectually? A person might believe, hopefully we believe in that, Yigimel Ikrei Emunah. But it is not enough to simply believe in something in the abstract, but one must have a tzipia, one must have a yearning, a desire, a cheshek. They say, I think Rav Shiva has mentioned a number of times, Rav Huttner's very, very witty and profound remark about what he missed about Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. What did he miss about Chutz La'aretz, living in Eretz Yisrael? And the answer was, he missed the yearning to come to Eretz Yisrael. Because once you're here, Nebuch, you can take everything for granted. You can take the Beis HaMikdash for granted as well. And in many ways, the Kutzker Rebbe was once asked, is there any spiritual advantage to apikorsis? Meaning the Rambam says every single midah can be used for good or be used for bad. Is heresy, can heresy ever be used for good? Now look, okay, Lemaisa, it's not necessarily a strong question because heresy is not a midah, it's an intellectual philosophy. But the Kutzker Rebbe said, yeah, if a poor person comes to you for tzedakah, you don't say to the poor person, Hashem will take care of you. You have to be, he says, operationally an apikoros, as if to say, I have the responsibility for helping. So by the same token, we can build on the Kutzker Rebbe. Is there anything good about Golos? And the answer is, yeah. Golos gives us yearning. Golos gives us an awareness of what it is we don't have. And through that awareness, through that yearning, we paradoxically become closer to Hashem than we were, even when we were close. It is the process of richuk itself, the process of distance, that can generate within the heart a tremendous closeness to Hashem. In English we have the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And this is true, both in terms of our feeling for Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feeling for us. So this is the day where we think about distance, we think about richuk. We recognize the pain of Golos. We know how far we are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even in the city of Yerushalayim HaBenuya, perhaps even more so in this city, as wonderful as it is, as great a privilege as it is, to be zochet to live in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, we can feel perhaps even more intensely than those outside of the city, how we're not there yet. The Gula has not arisen. Again, I also remember, as Rosh Hashiva mentioned, the Six Day War. I was younger then, but in the Six Day War, after the Six Day War, there were people that were saying, who needs Tisha B'Av anymore? And there are even, you know, in the Dati Lumi world, there are even Shelos U'Tshuvot regarding changing the prayer of Nachem. How can we possibly talk about the ear, the city, we're going to say it as Mincha, Ho'aveila HaChareva, that's in mourning, that's destroyed. How could that be when Baruch Hashem, we are so built up? But that's based on an illusion of what does it mean to be built up. First of all, even in a physical way, we are very, very far from safe and secure. Unfortunately, in a world of Islamic terrorism, in a world where everything is up for grabs, in a world where Yerushalayim, half of Yerushalayim might be given back next week. Even in a physical sense, the most literal physical superficial sense, we are not yet in a safe situation. But then of course, our tefillos are not pitched on that which is superficial, ephemeral or changing. Our tefillos are referring to the Gilei Shechina, to the Kirvas Elokim. The Kaisel is a wonderful thing, but what is the Kaisel? The Kaisel is the remnant of a wall of the Harabayas. Not even the Beis HaMikdash, not even the Azora. And what is the Harabayas? A place where there are mosques, a place where, halachically we shouldn't go there anyway, but those Jews that have a psak, if they go there, if they say a bracha on a glass of water, they're going to get arrested. Where you're not even allowed to say a bracha in that makkah. So indeed, it's not so much of a kasha that we still say, Yo'ir ho'aveila ha'chareva. We need rachamei shemayim. We have to be mitzapel legula. I mentioned before the Maral's Yesod, when the Gemara says, Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. The Maral says it does not mean necessarily that the birthday of the human Mashiach will be on Tisha B'Av. Maybe he'll be born some other day. But it means that which brings the messianic power into the world, that which brings Geula into the world, is the degree of yearning that we have on the 9th of Av. We bring Mashiach into the world. Mashiach is born today. Because if Mashiach, Emir Tashem, will come tomorrow, it'll be because of the Tisha B'Av that we had today and all the other Tisha B'Avs that Kol Yisrael has had in the past. And when there's a tzipisa li Yeshua, I yearn for Mashiach, then we're zeichet to Mashiach. David HaMelech describes it well. Nafshi l'Hashem mishayimrim l'baiker, shayimrim l'baiker. My soul desires to be united with God, as much as the watchmen in the middle of the night are looking for the first little bit of dawn, the first little bit of light. How much that is treasured. Nafshi l'Hashem, that is my nefesh for Hashem. I look to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the day, paradoxically, that has elements of Yom Tov side by side with Avelis. We don't recite Tachman. It's so subtle. And it's such a mixture that's so confusing. The Tereches, at least until Minchas time, is off the Aron because it's as if God's glory is ripped off. We were sitting on the ground, we're fasting. We're not allowed to learn Torah because an Avel does not learn Torah. And yet side by side with those in Yonim, our in Yonim of Nechama, Tisha B'Av is a Moed, a Chag, a Yom Tov. We don't say Tachanun. We don't say Lam Natseach. Side by side with the Avelis, we also have the certainty of Nechama, but it's precisely the yearning and the Avelis and the sense of separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to bring us closer to God. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. One interpretation might be the well-known Gemara in Makkos, Rabbi Akiva says, now that we see the Nevuas of Chorban have been fulfilled, that's a proof of the Geula. But another way of learning, and maybe that's goof of the Pshat in the Gemara in Makkos, is that it is the sense that I'm not yet with Hashem that brings the Geula into the world. Again, as Rosh Yeshiva said, when it takes away the gaiva, the ego, the sense that we have it all, when I know that I'm empty, when I know, as David HaMelech says, tefila li'ani, the ani, the one that is impoverished, turns to Hashem, because he knows that we have nothing, we are like a broken vessel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us, redeems us, saves us. And that is what Tisha B'Av is about, to become the ani, to be madgish, the chisorin in the world, and the chisorin in us. To understand that, Baruch Hashem, although we have yeshivas, we have makomos of Torah, we still live in a world without the Shekhinah. And the more we recognize what we don't have, the more we recognize how chaser we are, the more shalom we have. Again, the Svarim say, there is nothing as whole in the world as a lev nishbor, as a broken heart. And therefore, in the process of Shaviras HaLev, we can achieve a great, great Shlemus. It's interesting that there's a very fascinating comment of the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos to Rosh Hashanah, in which he says, he brings a raya, that even during the Bayis Sheni, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, they still fasted on the 9th of Av. L'chaira, you lose the Beis HaMikdash, you get it back. Why would you fast? Why would you observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av, on the Bayis Sheni? What was the tachlis of a fast? So there are different ways of learning. The Rambam himself seems to suggest that it's still connected with the Gezeirah of the Meraglim, that there still was the Gezeirah of the Meraglim, that our forefathers didn't enter Eretz Yisrael, but that was a past thing. That was not a present reality. Others suggest that they were waiting for the shoe to fall, meaning to say, they knew the first mikdash was Nechrev, and they had a tremendous meiridik apachat for the entire 420 years of the Bayis Sheni, that it too would be Nechref. And as a result, their Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni was not an Avelus, was not a mourning for what they lost, but it was a time of tefillah not to lose what they have. In other words, some wanted to suggest that Tisha B'Av during the Bayis Sheni is not the same as Tisha B'Av now. Tisha B'Av now is the getter of Avelus. Tisha B'Av during the 70 years of Gullus was the getter of Avelus. Tisha B'Av in the Bayis Sheni was a tefillah that there shouldn't be the Paronius of Korban. That's the second pshat. But there's a third pshat, which might be the simplest. And that is, the Bayis Sheni itself was not a complete makeup for what was lost in the Bayis Rishon. The Gemara in fact says that although the Bayis Sheni lasted longer than the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni was 420, the Bayis Rishon was 410, but there were a number of things that the Bayis Rishon had that we did not have in the Bayis Sheni. For example, the Kayach of Urim V'Tumim. Now, the Chayshin, the actual breastplate with the Avnei Chayshin, that they had in the Bayis Sheni. That was Big Day Kahuna. But the spiritual, prophetic power of the Urim V'Tumim, that they didn't have. They didn't have Nevuah. Except at the very, very beginning. The very beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the last three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, when they died, that was it. No Nevuah. Nevuah, of course, is symbolic and representative of a real Hashra'a Sashchina. And therefore, for the entire tekufa of the Bayis Sheni, we brought korbanos, we had a mikdash, we were able to be Makayim Aliyah L'Regel, absolutely. But, in many ways, there was no Hashra'a Sashchina. Hashra'a Sashchina was only the Bayis Rishon. Mimela, it's very, very true, that even during the Bayis Sheni, we are Misabel, that we never got back the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we had in the Bayis Rishon. If that is why the Rambam says, or at least this is why the Rambam may have given a different reason, but this is why there may be a Svara, that Tisha B'Av was observed even in the Bayis Sheni. It turns out that when we are Misabel on Tisha B'Av today, we're not only Misabel over the Churban Bayis Sheni, we are still suffering over the Churban Bayis Rishon, because the Churban Bayis, because the Bayis Sheni never gave us back what we lost by the Bayis Rishon. Why is that significant? L'may nafkamina, if I'm mourning over the Bayis Sheni, or I'm mourning over the Bayis Rishon. First of all, let me point out, we talked about this in the kinos, that if that is one reason why the kinos themselves weave seamlessly back and forth, sometimes in the same kina, between things that happen to Bayis Sheni, things that happen to the Bayis Rishon, there's kind of a timelessness. The Piyutim Bichlal are kind of above time. They take all of the different events and they mix and match them together. Because the emes is, we're still Misabel. But why is that important? It's Yadua, a very Yesodistic Klal that the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us. I mentioned it before. Kol dor shalay nivne biyamav, ki ilu nechrav biyamav. Any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt is as guilty as the generation in which the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. Because if we would not be that guilty, the Beis HaMikdash would have come back. This Yerushalmi is far from simple. This is actually a very, very big chiddush. Without the Yerushalmi, I might have assumed the following. A generation lost the Mikdash because they had so many sins, they had so many Averas, they were not worthy. Okay. We're not so bad. But never, we don't have the special merit that it takes to get the Mikdash back. I don't have the Averas that caused the Churban, but I don't have special Zechusim. This is what I would have said. Pat ourselves on the back, so to speak. The Talmud Yerushalmi says no. The Talmud Yerushalmi is saying a Murray Zikachidish. The Talmud Yerushalmi is saying you don't need special Zechusim to get back to Beis HaMikdash. All you need is not to have the Averos that were Gairim the Churban. Because if you wouldn't have those Averos, if we wouldn't have those Averos that were Gairim the Churban, the Mikdash would be back. If the Mikdash is not back, it's a raya that all of those reasons that Chazal teach us were the cause for the Churban Beis HaMikdash are reasons that exist right now. And the Beis HaMikdash is not Necherav today because it was Necherav, but rather it is being redestroyed every day. It is a reverse of HaMechadesh B'Tuvo B'Chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the world every single millisecond, that the world, the universe does not exist now because it was in existence a minute ago. It is the Ratzon HaBore to create every single unit of time. So too, Rachman al-Islam, it's the opposite. The Mikdash is being burnt every single second. Even a yid with a heart of stone, if you would be walking by the Harabayas and seeing the Beis HaMikdash burnt, how would it not affect us? But that's exactly what's happening in Ruchnius. The Mikdash is being destroyed because the Chatoyim that were Geirim, the Churban, are still being Payo, they're still working, they're still accomplishing their nefarious power. Well, we know, therefore, the Bayis Sheni, Chazal say, was Necherav because of Sinas Chinam. And we know that the Bayis Rishen was Necherav because of the three worst Averas, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rayis, Shrichas Damim. So what I want to suggest to you is this. The significance of being Misabel, not only over the Bayis Sheni, but over the Bayis Rishen, is actually telling us that not only are we still guilty of the Siba of Sinas Chinam, which is Pashit, and I'll talk about that a little bit, but we're actually still guilty of the original Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayot, Shvichas Damim, that caused the Churban Bayis Rishon. Because if we wouldn't be guilty of that, we would have that Mikdash back. That's why it's significant to kind of identify which Mikdash you're Misabel over. Because if each Mikdash is Mekusher to specific Averas, and I'm causing a Churban of that Mikdash every second, then I am Mekusher to those Averis as well. What's the pshat? So Bishlamah for the second Mikdash, we don't have much of a kasha. Sinas Chinam, to say that we still have Sinas Chinam. I don't need to bring Rayas that call Yisrael, we are beset with Sinas Chinam. Just want to point out a Heora of the Netziv, a very, very famous Hakdama of the Netziv to Sefer Devarim and HaMikdavar, and the Netziv himself was criticized in his lifetime for this Hakdama. In a way, the criticism proves the Hakdama, though. You see, the Netziv says that what was the Sinas Chinam of the Bayis Sheni? The Sinas, because first of all, what is Sinas Chinam? Who has Sinas Chinam? I hate somebody. You ask me why. I say, no reason. Everybody has a reason. By definition, if you don't like somebody, there's a reason you don't like somebody. Weistachais, even when there's a reason, it's still called chinam. The Netziv says, the sinas chinam of the Bayis Sheni was a concept in which people had certain shitas of frumkeit, of avodas Hashem. And that's emes. Different people have different shitas. But they looked at anyone that didn't have that shita. This is the Netziv, this is not me. They looked at people with different shita as apikorsim, as kaifrim, as chutzlamach. And although avada, fishtesach, even the Netziv is also maida, and everyone's maida. There are things that are in fact that case. But to look at something and say, if you're to my right, you're a fanatic. And if you're a little bit to my left, you're an apikoris. It's punct where I am. That is the only emes. And everything else is either kfir or apikorsis or excessive frumkeit. The Netziv says that is the sinas chinam of the Bayis Sheni that was garim b'churban. That a person has to look and understand that within shalomei emunei Yisrael, again these are important qualifications, there are different hadrachas, different drachim. And on one hand, every Ben Taira needs to know where he stands. We have to connect ourselves to our Rebbeim to understand the direction that we need to go and what is right for us and what is the way we want to raise our families. That is a very important principle. But at the same time, to understand that in the panoramic beauty of Am Yisrael, there can be different shitas, whether it's chassidus, musar, different approaches in musar and in chassidus, different darchei halimut, even different approaches on political questions. One understands there can be chilukei deis, and the chilukei deis can be very strong, and they can be very, very significant. But there still can be an avas Yisrael, an achdus, a kesher. And the Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, tells us, "Kemayim aponim el ponim kein leif ha'adam liyadam." Water reflects the face that you show the water. The Gra says, this is really Pashup Pshat of the Pasuk, you smile at the water, you'll get back a smiling face. You frown at the water, you get back a frowning face. Whatever you show the water is what you get back. Kein leif ha'adam liyadam. What I show another person is what I get back. I show a person derech eretz. I show a person kavod. I show a person respect. They will be margish that respect towards me and to what I represent. I show a person denigration. I show a person disdain. I communicate to the person they were garnished. That is memela how they're going to feel about me. This is what the Gra says. Kamayim haponim el ponim. Kein leifa adam liyadam. I don't want to be marach on this because it's very, very delicate. Maybe it's not the time to talk about it too much. But we live in a society where Baruch Hashem, side by side with the tremendous growth in yeshivas, in learning, in Torah, a growth that we have to give shevach v'haidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enabling this growth. And there's so many dedicated people, including Rosh Yeshiva and many others, who have worked in the Meisr Nefesh to create the Torah society we have in Eretz Yisrael. But we have to be honest, on the day of Tisha B'Av, the Chol HaPachas, when we focus on Mai Hayalanu, what we are lacking, that we have a society which has polarization, machlokas, sinas chinam, people use Baruch Hashem, not our Gedolim. Forget, people are not following the Hadracha of our Gedolim. But people use terms of bizyonis, labeling kfira, bikorsim, using all sorts of lashinus against other yidden. Which, bebechinas kamayim aponim aponim, is only ma'ayrer, sinna, and resentment. And if we follow Shlomo HaMelech Zeitza, and if we recognize that the geula, the tikkun of the bayis sheni, can only come when we are misakin sinas chinam. And when we understand that not every mistake is a kafira, and not every idea of kafira makes the person a kafir, because a person might be a teen of shenishma, there might be all sorts of other explanations, then I think at least in some degree we can bring Klal Yisrael, ourselves and Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, closer to a geula. Something to think about. Again, I don't want to be marachin this too much, but I think it's something that every Ben Torah has to give very, very careful thought. What am I doing to build bridges? What am I doing without compromising the yesaidus of the hashkafa that I learned and the hashkafa that I consider to be the Das Torah from my Masorah? What am I doing within that boundary to try to reach out to others with friendship, with love, with understanding, and with respect? You know, Rav Gershon Edelman, one of the Rashivas of Panovich, actually had a sicha, and I remember that I saw a little video of it for a few minutes. And the Bachram were very shocked because it had not been something they had heard before. But he was talking about even the notion of expressing Hakaras HaTayv to Chayalim, to police. Yeah, of course we have machlekes. Of course this is a gezeira ra. No one's going to argue that any type of forcible conscription of B'nai Torah is a chilul Hashem, and it's an endangerment to the state of Israel and to Am Yisrael. Of course. But that has nothing to do with how one relates to an individual soldier, whether it's chiloni from Nachal Charedi or whatever it is, who is providing a service to the Jewish people in doing that. And the person deserves Hakaras HaTayiv. And I would venture to say, perhaps it's an oversimplification, that if we would be able to communicate some type of Hakaras HaTayiv, they would be machshiv, the Eilam HaTayra, what Tayra represents, what Ruchnius represents. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Kamayim HaPanim HaPanim, Kein Leif HaAdam LiAdam. As I say, this is perhaps even a bit too delicate even for Tisha B'Av, so let me move on to the next inyan. So that's the Bayis Sheni. So the Bayis Sheni, okay, I understand, Sinas Chinam, it's Pashat, that's something we have to be misakin. But if it's true that I have to be misabo for the Bayis Rishayim, the Bayis Rishayim, Avayazara, Gil Arayas, Shrichus Dabim, I'm not that bad. Alright, Sinas Chinam, Lashon Hara, maybe those things I have. But Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayah, Shvichus Damim, can it possibly be true that Klal Yisrael still has those Averos? And we have to do tshuva for those Averos in order to be Bein of the Bayis? How could that be? So the Kitzur, I just want to say that there are three interrelated terusim to that question. First of all, Chazal tell us that Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayah, Shvichus Damim are not always literal manifestations of these sins in their extremities. But there are many other Averos that are considered to be equal to these Averos. For example, the Gemara in Nedarim, those of you that do Daf Yomi learned it recently, Kol HaKayes Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zarah. A person has kas, a person has anger. That is treated as idol worship. So good, maybe I don't bow down to an idol. But if I'm a kayes, Chazal equate it to Avodah Zarah. By the way, there's a beautiful explanation from the Baal HaTanya. What is the aside of why kas is equal to Avodah Zarah? Because why does a person get angry? Because somebody did something to him that he thinks shouldn't have happened. Somebody cheated me, somebody didn't respect me, somebody insulted me, somebody pushed me. But if a person is a maimon, that every single thing that happens in his life is a gezeira of the Bayre, then who are you angry at? Are you angry at God? And if you're not angry at God, then you're angry at a person and you're believing that it wasn't God's will that this happens. If that's true, you're an Oved Avodah Zarah because you're either not accepting God as your sovereign, or you're saying God is in fact not a sovereign. Human beings do things as free agents. So the Baal HaTanya says, Kas is a Bechina of Avodah Zarah. So good, I'm not guilty of Avodah Zarah, but Kas, we certainly have. Gilei Arayah, it may very well be that most people are not Nichshal in Eishes Ish, they're not Nichshal be Arayah, Chas V'Shal. But Chazal say, Hirhurei Avera, thoughts of Arayah, could even be worse than Arayah itself. Certainly, again, without being Marich too much, we live in a culture saturated with Hirhurei Erva. Whether it's the internet, whether it's advertisements on buses or in the street, whether it's walking in the street. So memela hirhurei avera, very, very difficult to be nisal. So to say we don't have gilei arayas, that's very, very far from obvious. There's much gilei arayas even among a very religious person simply because the exposure that exists in our society. It's almost impossible to avoid hirhurei avera, not maisa avera, but hirhurei avera. Ritzicha, Shvichus Damim, Chazal say, Hamal bin Pnei Chaveri Barabim. If we humiliate somebody publicly, Ki'ilu Shofech Damim, that is Shvichus Damim. Ad Kedei Kach, that the Rishonim have a whole discussion. Again, in Tishra, we can't be marachin it too much, but the Gemara in Saita tells us that Tamar was willing to be mapil herself in a Kivshin Aish. She, rather than embarrass Yehuda, she would not identify that Yehuda was the one that she was mezana with, because that would embarrass him. She was willing to die. Mutiv shiyabel adam atzmi l'kifshin ha'esh. It is better that a person throw themselves into a kifshin ha'esh. V'al yalbin p'nei chaveyu v'rabim. And the Rishonim discuss, according to the halacha, if the halacha is that shvichas damim z'yarek v'al yaver, I have to allow myself to be killed before I kill somebody, whether al pi din I am mechuyev to be meiser nefesh. To die before I'm malbin. Sorry, some Rishonim say I'm not mechuyev to die, but nevertheless, it is called a form of shvichas damim. So, teres number one is, right, the question was, if we're misabel over the first korban, And the first korban was because Avodah Zarah Gilei Shvichas Damim. What's my shaychus to Avodah Zarah Gilei Raya Shvichas Damim? So teretz number one is that all of these have connected aveiros. Avodah Zarah is connected to kas, Gilei Arayas is connected to Hirhurei Aveira, Shvichas Damim is connected to Malbin Pnei Chaveir Barabim. Right. So in that sense, all of us have some connection to Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayas Shvichas Damim. Teretz number two is the interconnectedness of Klal Yisrael and the whole world. You know, the anti-Semites of the world like to blame Jews for everything. You know, Jews are responsible for this and for that and for that and for that. Well, the little secret which we'll keep in this room is, you know, they happen to be right. Jews are responsible for everything. Everything that happens in the world is because Klal Yisrael is supposed to take a lesson, is because we're supposed to be a certain way, because we're not a certain way. The analogy is, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, just that the learning in Radin, the intensity of the learning in Radin, like an atom bomb at ground zero. So there is radiation that goes for hundreds, if not thousands of miles. It gets weaker and weaker and weaker, but there's going to be a ratio. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the intensity of the learning in Radin is going to determine the tznius of the Malbush in Paris. By the time the Shefa gets to Paris, it'll be very weak, but l'chol ha'pachas, it'll be a little better than it is. Now the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, had a very good chavrusa. Rav Yosef Karo had a malach as a chavrusa. And the malach was called his magid, his preacher. And Rav Yosef Karo actually wrote a diary of his conversations with his magid. It's Magid Meisharim. You actually have a record of the diary over several years. And in the Magid Meisharim, there is a Meiser of Yosef Karo brings, about himself, that once he was learning a very, very difficult piece of Gemara, and he didn't have pshat, and he was thinking about it for several weeks, and finally, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Meir Einav, and he had a good pshat in the Gemara. So he's walking by the alleys of Tzfat, we've been there many, many times, he's walking by the alleys, and he overhears a shoemaker learning with his 7-year-old son. He doesn't want to eavesdrop, but they happen to be learning the same sugya. And they're up to the same shtickle. And the 7-year-old asks the father, the Beis Yosef's kasha, like what was the thing that bothered the Beis Yosef? So the Beis Yosef, you know, really had to listen what was going on. So the father looks at the kid and says, you know, I knew this was too hard for you. You know, I guess I should have learned something easier, you're too young. The teretz is, it's so pashut, and he gave him the teretz, and it was the same teretz that it took the Beis Yosef, the Gadol Hador, several weeks to figure out. And not only did the shoemaker get it, but the shoemaker had a taina that the 7-year-old didn't figure it out by himself. That's really a bizaya. It was simple enough for a 7-year-old kid. Granted, I'm sure it was a chash of a 7-year-old kid, but still. So the Beis Yosef had chalisha sadas. The Beis Yosef figured, this could only be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did something that I'm not roy to be mechaven to the emes of Torah. This was a pashut thing, but why did it take me so long? I was not worthy. So he asked the Magid, like a cheshbon nefesh, what could you be my DME, what I need to be mesaken, what pagam I have? Because I can't figure out, you know, why I wouldn't be worthy of something simple. So he brings, the Magid told him the following idea, an amazing idea. He said, you should know that this Havana was a very deep Havana that the world was not worthy of, the world was not ready of. But through your Yegiyah, through your Amelus, through your Harvanya, you brought this Kayach into the world. Once you brought it into the world, anybody could get it. L'chayre tzapela. What do we mean, bring it into the world? He didn't teach it to anybody. He didn't write it. He didn't communicate it. This was a private thing that he did. Elamai, when you bring the Kedusha into the world, it becomes a tangible reality that other people can latch onto. Because we have ripple effects. So the Ben Taira, this is an important mussar for the Ben Taira, who sits and shtaigs in the Beis Medrash, and people say that the Gemara's definition of an apikiris, the definition of an apikiris, ma hanilei rabbanan, what do the rabbanan do for the world? You sit and you learn. You know, you're not out there, you're not, of course many of many Tamil Chama are out there, but even the people who aren't out there yet, What are you doing for the world? The answer is, you're doing plenty. You don't even know what you're doing for the world. How much rachamim you bring into the world. How much Yeshua. How much Kedusha. How much Kirvas Elokim. It's not only a function, yes, we're supposed to teach and we're supposed to be makarev and we're supposed to interact, of course. But even the mitzvahs and the learning, the fact that a person does, beino lebein asma, with nobody around and nobody even knows, changes the world immensely. That's what the Beis Yosef is saying. It enables even a 7-year-old to understand something that otherwise wouldn't be understood. We change the world. And if we change the world of Tov, we can also change the world of Ra. So this is the second teretz. Yes, I, you, all of us here, we're not guilty of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim. But there's no question, we live in a world that is suffused with Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim. Shvichas Damim, look at the murder and the violence in the world of Pshuto now. Gilei Arayas Lefi Pshutai, we live in a world that is Meshuta. Avodah Zarah, perhaps we don't have that many pagans, although we actually do have, you know, many pagans in the world even today. But whether it's money, like the Gra says, when they took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, it was replaced by the Yetzirah of money to put something ahead of Avodah Hashem, whatever Avodah Zarah means. So if we live in a world that is full with Avodah Zarah L'Shechus Damim, it's because we didn't create enough of the Kedusha that would vanquish it or limit it and the like. And therefore we are achroy for the state of the world. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that we normally have a rule when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees Taiva, I'm sorry, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees a Ra in the world, he's always going to be Chayzer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Chayzer. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees Taiva, he's never Chayzer. That's why we test the Navi. If a Navi says something good's going to happen, if it doesn't happen, you know that he's false. If a Navi says something bad's going to happen and it doesn't happen, you don't know that he's false, because even if he's a Navi Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his mind. Because Hashem is Rachum L'Chanan. But a Nevuah L'Tayv will never be changed. A Berzuk de Gemara and Shabbos, all rules have exceptions. And we do have one exception. At the time of the Chorban Bayis, Rishayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yechezkel the Nevuah that the Tzadikim in Yerushalayim should be saved, and he told the Malach to inscribe a letter on the Metzach, on the forehead of the Tzadikim, that they should be Nitzal. And this was a Nevuah L'Tayv. And yet, the Gemara in Shabbos reconstructs a Shach Levatari with the Midas Adin, and the Midas Adin says, why should these tzaddikim be saved? And the answer is, because they kept the whole Torah. But then the Midas Adin says, but they could have given Teichacha to those who didn't. They could have influenced them. But the Midas HaRachamim said, Hashem, Goloi V'yadua L'fanecha, that if they would have been Mochiach, it wouldn't have changed anything. But the final word came to the Midas Adin. The Midas Adin said, Hashem, you knew. But how did they know? They didn't know. And because of this, the tzaddikim were destroyed because they didn't take enough of an acharayas for the door. So these are two separate ideas. One idea is that through our own internal kedusha, we change the environment of the world. And the other is that we have the kayach through learning, through teaching, through serving as an example, to change the world in many, many ways. And for that, if we live in a world, even if I myself am not guilty of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim, if I live in such a world, I have an achrayas for the world that was created. A world filled with Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim, and Mimela, the Chatoyim that were Gairim, the Chorban Bayis, Rishayim, are still very much here. A third teretz to this question, again, the question is, why are we misabel over the chatoyim of the Bayis Rishon, is a thought that Rav Tzadok expresses. And Rav Tzadok expresses the idea that Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim are simply external symptoms of an extreme of a disease within the midos of a person. And what are the three midos that destroy a person? So Pirkei Avos tells us, Kina, taiva, the covet. Kina is jealousy. Taiva is excessive lust for sensuality and pleasure. And covet is the incessant need for ego gratification, honor and glory. Rabbi Elazar says, Maitzien es ha'adam min ha'ilam. They take a person out of the world. They destroy a person's chelek in olam haba. And as the Altar of Slobodka used to say, it destroys your pleasure in this world as well. One cannot enjoy life if one is consumed with kina, taiva, v'kavod, because whatever bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, they're never going to appreciate. So Rav Tzadok simply says this, the extreme manifestation of kina is shvichas damim. In fact, it's interesting, Rav Tzadok did not consult crime statistics, but indeed, most crime statistics say that most murders are as a result of family jealousies or whatever it is. Even in Rahman al-Islam, we live in a door where it might be over somebody's sneakers, somebody's shoes, whatever it is. Ritzicha. So Ritzicha is the extreme manifestation of, I am so jealous of you, I begrudge your right to live. I don't want you to live in my world. Gili Arayas is obviously connected to Taiva. And Avodah Zarah, connected to Kavod, this is a little more tricky and a little more subtle. But in many, many ways, the urge for Avodah Zarah in part stems from the notion that man wants to be the central focus. In other words, a human being, instead of being subject to God, would like to create a religion that lets him do whatever he wants. The Gemara says, "La'avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah." The Jewish people turned to Avodah Zarah because that permitted them to be Ivra and Arayas. What does that mean? That instead of a religion where you're mevatel yourself to the Bayre, you want to create a religion that lets you do whatever you want. So instead of man being made in the image of God, a person creates a belief structure where God is made in the image of man. Look, Lamashal, at the kfira of the Greek and the Roman, the ancient, what were their small g gods? They were basically dysfunctional human beings with superpowers. They obviously didn't care if you were Mazana because they were Mazana. They didn't care if you were Roseach because they were Roseach. They did worse. That's a perfect religion because that's a religion that basically says, I define what I want to do and then I create the religious system that says I can get away with it. You have your cake and eat it too. So you have your sacrifices and your temples and your holidays and your rituals. But you've created a structure of values that is simply defined by whatever you want it to be. So Rav Tzadok says, the yesod of Avodah Zarah actually comes from the sense of kavod. I have to be in charge. So Rav Tzadok's thought is quite beautiful. A person can have a disease even if you don't have the symptoms of the disease yet. It may very well be that Baruch Hashem, we are not people who worship Avodah Zarah. We are not people who are nichshol bi'arayos. We are not people that do shvichas damim. But the shayrish of Avodah Zarah is kavod, the gaiva that I have to be in charge. And the shayrish of Gilui Arayos is taiva, the need for excessive sensual pleasures. And the shayrish of Ritzicha is kina. And certainly if I live in a world where I still want to define, I want the Torah to fit my agenda, instead of my being mavatl myself to the Bayre, that is the shayrish of Avodah Zarah, because I make myself my God. I become the God that I truly worship, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with me, that's a wonderful thing. I'm very happy. If he doesn't, I'll just redefine it. You see this all the time, where people make moral choices. Sometimes even people who are nominally Orthodox, they make moral choices based on what they think is right, based on what conventional morality or politics says is right. And then they'll cherry pick psukim, mamare chazal, out of context, this language, that language, to say, oh, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with me, Judaism agrees with me. That's exactly the opposite process, in which we have to be mevatel ourselves to the Ratzon HaBayre. And if you're not mevatel yourself to the Ratzon HaBayre, that's kavod. And kavod, Rav Tzadok says, is the shayrish of Avodah Zarah. So, b'kitzur, these are three terutzim to a single kasha, and that is, why are we still misabel the bias rishayim? We don't have the chatayim of avodah zarah gilei raish v'chastamim. So teres number one is that avodah zarah could equal kas gilei raish yehurei avera v'chastamim is malvin pnei chavera. Teres number two is we have an achrayas for the world, and if we live in a world of such tuma, it is our achrayas that we didn't create enough kedusha. And teres number three is that these three sins of avodah zarah gilei raish v'chastamim are symptoms of character flaws. And the character flaws are things that we do have to work on. Again, I speak for myself, I don't want to say anyone else, but one has to make a cheshbon nefesh to the degree that we have the jealousy of other people, that we have taiva, and most importantly perhaps, the idea of kavod, in which I want to be the boss, I want to define what's right, and I use HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prove that I'm right. You know, it's very interesting. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I used to point out that this is the aside of the principle in the Gemara of Gadol HaMitzvah V'Yaisa. When a person is commanded to do a mitzvah, it's a greater merit than if you do a mitzvah that you're not commanded to do. That is the makor of simcha at a bar mitzvah. The reason a bar mitzvah is a sudas mitzvah is because Baruch Hashem, it's a great simcha that I'm leaving the category of optional and I'm becoming a mitzvah. So people ask the kasha. Taisus asks the kasha. The chayr is the opposite. If I do something because I have to do it, no, I have to do it. Of course I have to do it. So why do I deserve so much reward? But if I do a mitzvah I don't have to do, and I do it anyway, like Anisha does a mitzvah sasesh man grama, and she gets reward. She does get reward. It's a good thing. She should get more reward because she's doing more than you have to do. If a kaddish yigiel lechinach does more than he has to do, he should be a wonderful kid. Why is it less? He is a wonderful kid, Taka, but why does he get less reward than a mitzvah? So Taisva says in the Maseches Avodah Zarah, tremendous psychological insight. Once you're a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara says, I don't want to do it. Because when I do something when I'm not a mitzvah, it's my ego. I am making the decision. So I'm perfectly happy to make decisions. But when I have to do it, it's no longer me. I have to be mavato myself. Chaim Shulevitz was masber that it's the nature of a human being. Maybe, perhaps even Jews even more so, because we're called an Am Keshei Eiref, a stubborn nation. It served us in good stead, but it has a downside. Am Keshei Eiref, when I have to do it, that's when I don't want to do it. So Mimele, the Mitzvah V'Yaisa, has a greater Aveda because he has to be Kovish Yitzhak. Let me just end with one final thought. You know, the last of the, or the next of the last kinos that we read was Eli Tzien V'Areha. Again, a beautiful, beautiful lament over all of the sufferings of Am Yisrael, and ending with that the greatest tsar of all is the desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. We've suffered so much in so many ways, but the last thing is Alei Shimcha Asher Chulal. It is your name, Hashem, that has been desecrated and taken into the mud. And this is the only one of the kinos that we say Biamida. We stand up. All the other kinos, we generally, unless your back is hurting, but generally you say them B'Yeshiva. This we B'Dafka, the whole Kahal stands up. Now standing up normally means you're moving away from Avelis, right? Now it's after Chatzais, we get up, we take our seat. So why do I say the Kina as I'm standing up? So there's really a beautiful double message here. The message is that even when you're standing up, even when you're leaving Kinas, even when you're taking your first steps towards ordinary life, because after Mincha we already begin our movement towards ordinary life, don't forget the Chorban. Don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. Carry with you the Tsar of the Chorban and the Tsar of the Golos even into tomorrow and the rest of your life. Because every single day we have to think about this. But at the same time, Hashem's message is, don't let it paralyze you. You have to be a person who moves. You have to be a person who does. You know, there is a sakana, a subtle sakana of avelus over the past. And sometimes, and I've met Holocaust survivors and the like, people who came from very, very choshuva communities. And they felt, their emotional cheshbon was, that you'll never be able to create what was in Vilna what was in Slobodka, let's say in America. You're not going to be able to create it, so what's the use? That's very subtle. Because when you use your mourning as kind of an excuse not to do what you can in the conditions that you have, then it becomes self-defeating. So the message of Eli Tzion Gvirah is, remember the Chorban always, and pray for the Geula always, but don't use it as something in which you're permanently paralyzed and sitting down. Know that you have to move on in life. You have to do what you can. You have to take the matzav that's less than perfect and make it as good as you can, side by side with the memory of the world that we lost and the suffering that we've had. You also recognize that in every moment that Hashem gives you, there is always the opportunity of Kedusha. And that's kind of the dichotomy that a Yid has to live with. The Chafetz Chaim said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Shal na'alecha mi'al raglecha, take your shoes off your feet because the place where you're standing is Admas Kodesh. The Chafetz Chaim said, what place was that? It was the snap. It's a message to every person. Every person has to look at where they are and understand the potential for Kedusha. And you can never use the fact that things are not perfect as an excuse to say, I'm not going to make it better. So B'ezus Hashem, may the Avelos that we have for the Churban, as Chazal say, Kol Mesabu Al Yushlayim Zoichav Raya B'Simchasa, may it be the spur that will energize us and bring us to a Gula Shleimah of Mehirah B'Nei.
Amen.